Well, good morning. One more time. Good morning. Always better the second time. Well, welcome to Christ Community Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Zach. I'm one of the pastors here along with Pastor Sue. On behalf of both of us, we're so glad you're here. We're excited to engage in this conversation with God together throughout this worship service. We heard his call to worship, and then we responded with our songs and praises and prayers, and now we get to listen to him speak, not just through the words I'm saying, but through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. If you're new here, a special welcome to you. I'd love to talk to you after the service, or Sue, or you can, on these handouts that you got, there's this little bottom section. If you want to let us know anything, you write it on here, rip it off, and you can put it in the offering boxes on your way out, and we'll get in touch with you later in this week. All right, as promised, this week we're starting a brand new series that we're calling Mixtape. I'm just barely old enough to remember what it is to make a mixtape. My parents got me a stereo for Christmas one year when I was in fourth or fifth grade, and I remember I have particular memories of staying up late, laying on the floor next to my stereo, listening to B93.7, which is the country music station in my hometown, waiting for that song that I wanted to come on so I could click that record button and add it to my collection. Oftentimes, I would even call into the DJ and request a song. One time, I had called so often that the DJ answered and said, "Yes, we know you want us to play Tennessee Girl by Sammy Kershaw. You can stop calling us." I was about after the fifth time I had called him in that hour. And in my defense, I needed that song on my mixtape, and that was the only way I could get it. But here's the thing about a good mixtape. I think we all know this. You can't just have one type of song, right? It's a mixtape. You have to have the songs. You can't fill them up with random songs that mean nothing to you. They have to have a purpose. They have to speak to you in some type of way and make you feel something. I mean, same thing with mixed CDs and playlists for the younger people here. But through the melodies and lyrics, that they have to speak to your human experience in one way or another. Those are the songs that we enjoy, right? If we can't relate to the words or if the music doesn't make us feel something, we usually click skip. It's not a song worth listening to. Which is why I like that song, Tennessee Girl, so much. Not because I was in love with some Tennessee girl or that I wanted to get a vanity plate with her name on it or write her name in the sky or get a temporary tattoo of her. That's what the song was about. It's a really strange concept. But the song reminded me of a time in my life when I went on a mission trip with 9 people from my church. And so we spent time serving, but mostly we spent time having fun with each other on this trip. We drove from Grand Rapids, Michigan to Carbondale, Indiana, which is about a 14-hour round trip in the car with a bunch of other kids, a bunch of other middle schoolers. And the song came on so frequently that while none of us had heard it before, we all knew it by heart by the time we got home. And so now that the trip was over, every time I heard that song, it reminded me of this trip and it filled me with some type of joy. See, songs that made me feel something always made their way onto my mixtapes. And I think that's why I love the Psalms so much. It's this chapter in the Bible, but really it's this ancient songbook for our faith. They're songs filled with feeling. And the best part is they're not only songs that make you feel something, they're songs that can give you words for what you're feeling. They're songs that speak to the human experience, and just like a good mixtape, they speak to the entirety of the human experience. Whether you're afraid or thankful, there's a psalm for that. Whether you feel loved or maybe forgotten, there's a psalm for that. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few of these songs that speak to our human experience, starting today with Psalm 136. And so if you want to follow along but didn't bring a Bible, there's some in the pews in front of you. And if you're using one of those, the psalm's going to be on page 892. Also, by the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own, please talk to myself or Sue. We'd love to send you home with one this morning. All right, before we read, let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this psalm we're about to read takes a pretty unique shape. It's the only psalm that's like this in the Bible. It has this repeating chorus throughout it. His love endures forever. And because of its form, most people think that it was used in worship scenarios as a call and response liturgy, where the person leading worship would read a line and the people worshiping would respond with, "His love endures forever." So this morning, as we read it, I want to invite us to read it in that way. So I will read a line and you all respond with, "His love endures forever." Let's try it one more time. 1, 2, 3, "His love endures forever." All right, Psalm 136. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. And give thanks to the God of heaven." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Thanks be to God. His love endures forever. It's repeated 26 times in that psalm. Are you tired yet? Is your voice all right? If you ever felt like the songs that we do get repetitive, I'm pretty sure Tim has never repeated the chorus 26 times. So we can be thankful for that. In fact, this is one of the most repeated phrases throughout all of the Psalms. The love of God endures forever. By the way, this isn't just some kind of ordinary love. The Hebrew word that's used here is hesed. There's no real good translation in English, although we try. Our other Bible translations translate this as his faithful love, or his steadfast love, or his loving kindness, or even his mercy endures forever. And while there's no good English translation for hesed, we use many words to describe it. One of my favorites, I think, is loyal love, unconditional love. Love that God has for us despite our failures, despite our faults. And when we look at this passage, we see that, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. To him who has done great wonders, to him who has divided the Red Sea, to him who struck down great kings. This is purely a God thing. All about his unconditional love for us. There's no verse that says, because I am good, his love endures forever. Or because my church attendance record is pretty all right, his love endures forever. No, this has nothing to do with what we have done to deserve that love. God loves us simply because he's a God who loves us. And this whole psalm is written to remind Israel how God's love has been shown to them, and also how they're supposed to respond to that love. So that's how we're going to talk about this sermon today. This is the order. First, we're going to talk about how God shows us his love, and then we're going to talk about how we should respond to that love. So firstly, God shows his love simply through who he is. He's the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and yet he's good. I mean, how many of you have had a boss that maybe lets their power get to their head and the way they end up leading comes out cruel or maybe uncaring? Just looking around, I can't find Amber, so that was my trick to see how she feels about me. But we see it all the time in politics too, right? How many of these people get maybe a little bit of power and seek to pursue their own wealth and comfort and ignore the people that they're supposed to be representing? And yet we have a Father who is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He's above and over every other existing person and entity. And yet, he remains good. His love endures forever. God shows us his love through creation. He made the heavens and spread out the earth upon the waters, made the sun and the moon and the stars, everything on this earth, every good and perfect and beautiful thing is created through God. And it's hard not to feel his love through creation, especially here in California, from what I've noticed, right? Every time we go walking through a forest of redwoods or we see the sunset over the Pacific, or when we go up to visit the snow, which is still not a concept that my Michigan brain can wrap its mind around. But we feel those feelings of astonishment and wonder, and it's because God loves us through creation. His love endures forever. God shows us his love through his victories. Whether it's rescuing his people from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or leading his people through the Red Sea and sweeping away Pharaoh and his army with it, striking down great kings in order to protect and provide for his people, God has had a part of it. And now whatever victory you may have, God is playing a part in that as well. Even if it requires tremendous work or sweat equity on your behalf, because of his love, God is the one who has provided you with the ability to do that work and put in that sweat equity. His love endures forever. Lastly, God shows us his love for us when he leads us through times of trial. Verse 16 says, "To him who led his people through the wilderness." Now here's the thing. I don't want to be led through the wilderness. I want to be led around the wilderness if possible, or out of the wilderness if I'm already in there. I don't want to go through the wilderness. It's in the wilderness where we often think that God doesn't love or care or provide for us. It's in the wilderness that we often curse God for bringing us there, where we wish to be going back to our previous situations. But it's in the wilderness that God is doing his most important work on us. In times of struggle and trial, God is never closer than he is in that moment. God uses those trials to work things out for our good. So even in the midst of those trials, even in the moments where we maybe not feel his love at all, we can say that his love endures forever. For he remembers us in our low estate. He frees us from our enemies, and he gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. See, God's love remained consistent and unconditional throughout Israel's story. And God's love remains consistent and unconditional in our stories as well. which is great news, because most love that we experience here on earth is not unconditional. Even love between a parent and a child, or within a marriage, those loves can maybe get close, but we see too many broken marriages and too many broken relationships to convince ourselves that these loves are unconditional. You know, it's hard to keep a faithful love to someone who maybe doesn't keep a faithful love to you. That's the number one reason for divorce in America, is simply a lack of commitment to one another. Because people don't stay committed, or people don't remain faithful. But that's not how God's love works. God loved Israel and led them out of Egypt and provided for them through the wilderness and protected them from their enemies. And what was Israel doing that whole time? Complaining. They wanted to go back to slavery because they couldn't handle the wilderness, because they couldn't see God's big picture. They ran to other gods and other idols constantly. They were consistently unfaithful, and yet God's love endured. He stuck with them. He remained faithful to them. And God remains faithful to us in the same way, despite us having those same tendencies that Israel did. Tendencies to grumble and complain about our circumstances, to walk away from him, to turn to other idols like sex and porn and alcohol and social media and power and food and gambling and drugs and all the other things that we know are bad for us, but maybe provide that small sense of satisfaction, the fleeting feeling of goodness, the comfort, the short-term comfort we're seeking. And still, even still, his love endures forever. And how do we know that God's love endures? Because while we were still sinners, while we were so focused on all those other idols in our lives, what did Christ do? He died for us. That's chesed love. That's what it looks like. Despite the conditionality of our own love, God's love remained unconditional. His love endures forever, no matter what. It remains the same even when we don't. And so what should we do in response to God's love? What does the psalm tell us to do? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of God, to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to the God of heavens. It's the beginning and the end of this psalm. This psalm is a song of thanksgiving. It doesn't just talk about how God's love is shown to us, but how we need to respond to that love. It begins and ends with commands to give thanks. And so that's what we do. We give him thanks for creating this world and everything in it. We give him thanks for the redemption that we have received through his work, through Christ, in leading us out of a life of slavery to sin and death and into a life of freedom. We give him thanks for the good times and the hard times, because we know that in the hard times he's forming us and leading us. And we give him thanks for the victories that we get to share in, especially the resurrection victory over sin and death. We give him thanks for his provision and his protection through it all, because these are the signs of God's love and its unfailing, unending love that endures forever. And maybe the most important way that we give him thanks is by sharing that love with the world. Striving to live out a chesed love in our own lives. And we do that by introducing people to Jesus and imitating him in how we live and love in our own lives. His love endures forever, and it's our joy to thank God for that love by sharing it with the world. So this closing prayer, we're going to do something kind of similar to what we did in the scripture reading. I'm going to pray a section, and then I'll say, "Lord, we give you thanks." It should be on the next slide. And then you all will respond, "Your love endures forever." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We're grateful for so many things this morning. First, we want to thank you for who you are, a powerful God unlike any other, and yet you still invite us to call you Father. Lord, we give you thanks. Your love endures forever. God, we are grateful for the careful way that you have formed creation, for the beauty and goodness in this world. Help us to see creation as an extension of your love so that we may appreciate it and care for it in the way that we should. Lord, we give you thanks. Love endures forever. God, we are grateful for the salvation that you have gifted us. Although we constantly fall under the temptation of sin and live lives that fail to meet your expectations of us, you love us the same. You sent your Son to live among us and take on our sin and die for us so that we may be declared righteous in your eyes. Lord, we give you thanks. God, we are grateful for the victory that we have received through you. For Jesus' life did not end in death, but he overcame both sin and the grave and invites us to share in his victory and resurrection. Lord, we give you thanks. Love endures forever. And finally, God, we acknowledge that not all times feel like times of victory. We experience trouble and hardship, and yet, even still, we are grateful. We know that you are with us in the wilderness, caring for us, providing for us, and protecting us, and shaping us. So, Lord, we give you thanks. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. So in a moment, we're going to invite you to come up and receive the Lord's Supper. And this meal actually goes by a few different names. Some of you may know it as communion, some as the Lord's Supper, but there's this other name that I wanted to give special emphasis to this morning, and it's the Eucharist, which comes from this Greek word meaning thanks. And indeed, that's what we're doing when we participate in this meal. We're showing our thankfulness for Jesus doing everything he needed to do to enable us, to allow us, in order for us to participate in this meal. So Jesus, on the night he was arrested, sat down for a meal with his 12 disciples, one of whom would betray him, all of whom would end up deserting him. But as he sat there, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." It's just this fancy word for relationship. So this cup is this new relationship in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. So with thanksgiving, let's turn to the screens and offer God our grateful praise. I'll read the white parts and you all respond with the yellow. The peace of the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and in love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. Amen.